Good morning, everyone. Wasn't that a beautiful song? It's a great message, too. It's been an interesting summer, hasn't it? It's actually been an interesting morning around here. For about 20 minutes this morning, I was carrying this rock around with me. It was going to be self-defense if I needed it, but I didn't end up needing it. Well, it has been an interesting summer. We've been in a series called Summer with the Psalms. This week I found a great picture that I think describes, is very descriptive of this summer. Check it out. The ice cream truck has melted. How many days was it over 90 degrees this summer? Like way, way too many. And the ice cream truck is in serious trouble. Well, many of you have been asking about Kathy and I, our sons, Matthew and Andrew. May 27th, they were on the beach in New Jersey, and I'm happy to say that just the other day, they were on the beach in Washington. So, that's what you call a pose of triumph. 4,000 miles, over 4,000 miles they cycled, and God was good to them. And along the way, they got to view some absolutely incredible scenery. They had never been west of Minnesota, so you can imagine when the boys came across this, up a 30-mile hill, and then coming kind of down, they stopped and said, "Wow, look at that." But I want you to know something. Their journey wasn't full of pictures like this. Their journey was actually full of this. Okay, now that's what I want you to realize. That hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles was that. Okay? I mean, that's just life. And one of the things they had to learn was to just be content with where they were. And to be content with being on the journey, with pedaling one after the other and riding after cornrow after cornrow. They just had to be content being together. And here's a picture of Morgan, their friend, cycling. And that's just the way it is. If you're going to get to the beautiful sights in life, you have to be content with the monotonous cornrows of life. And you also have to realize that stuff happens, like broken spokes. And that's one of many pictures that could have been taken. There are also dangers along the way. And that they almost ran over. It tried to strike them. And I'm not kidding. There are dangers in life. And we have to be content, like I was this morning at 5 o'clock, knowing that it's just the world we live in. God calls us to trust in Him and to be content and to keep on keeping on, trusting Him, being satisfied with whatever today brings, knowing that tomorrow might bring this. You see, there are milestones along the journey that we take with Christ that are just absolutely breathtaking. And some places we go, we've never been before, and honestly, we don't want to leave them. I actually had to call the boys up and say, "I think you better leave the Tetons." They didn't want to leave. It was beautiful. I don't blame them. But they needed to understand, just like we need to understand, that beyond the Tetons, there are more adventures and more excitement. Now, there's also more soybeans and oats and things like that. But then there's the Pacific. There's, you know, a nice morning rain in Washington. There's so many things to experience. But you have to be content with just what comes along every day. And this morning, what I want to talk to you about is the contented heart. because I know there's a lot of you in this room, along with me, who are struggling just to have a contented heart. My morning did not go the way I planned. Okay, and you need to know I'm a morning person. I love my mornings. I love my Sunday mornings. And this morning did not go the way I wanted it to. And God spoke to me and He said, listen, how about a little dose of your own medicine? Just be content with whatever this day brings. You trust in me. We'll get through this together. How many of you struggle sometimes with experiencing the contented heart? Okay. Well, listen, that means, thank you, that means I'm normal. Josh, I needed someone to tell me today I'm normal. I'm normal. Psalm 131 and Psalm 130 go together, not just because they're one after the other, but because God gave us a gift when He put those two psalms back to back. The first one was about forgiveness and redemption. And this second psalm for this morning is about just the beauty of resting in God and His Word and quieting our hearts. And that's one of the great things that the Psalms teaches us. And it's a lesson that we seem to forget all too soon, and we have to relearn and rethink and revisit the same simple truth. And so read with me. You read silently as I read out loud Psalm 131. You can use the screen. Actually, you can't use the screen because I intentionally did not put it on the video, on the screen today. So you have to actually open a Bible. Sorry, Bruce. Okay. If you're visiting here today, we want you to know that we have these Bibles on purpose. We ask you to open them up. We think very highly of the Bible, as highly as any book that's ever been written. And if you're here today visiting, or even if you're not, you're just here, you're here every week, you need to know that this book exists because God loves you. And Jesus died to pay the penalty of your sins. Psalm 131 says this: My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. O church, O Christian, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. Father, I pray that in the stillness of this moment, that you would remind us that though someone could come in here and steal something that is material, they cannot break into our hearts and take you from us. You will never leave us or forsake us. You are the God who provides and protects. You are the author of salvation. You are the one who loves us. And so teach us this significant lesson this morning, I pray, in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. Would you please enjoy this video with me, would you please?
Hey guys, I got you each a gift.
No way, Jesus, why?
Awesome. Well, I just love you guys, so I wanted to get you something.
Wow. So nice.
Laura, you first.
Wow, this is so exciting. Oh, will you look at this, a little 8-ounce can of Coke? This is perfect for me.
I looked everywhere to find a gift for you, and this just seemed to fit.
I love it.
Drew?
Yeah,
your turn.
All right. No way, Jesus. Seriously?
Oh, yeah.
20 ounces of Coke? Yeah, baby.
Woo!
This is awesome. Oh, Jesus, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Laura, we gotta go show Richard our gifts. Come on.
Okay.
Hey, Laura, is there a problem?
No. I mean, well, yeah, kind of, you know. It's just that every time you give people gifts, you always give everyone else more than you give me.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, I open my gift and, oh, cute, 8 ounces. And then Drew opens his gift and, hello, 20 ounces.
Oh, I know what you mean. Well, that gift is for Drew.
Well, that's what I want. Go get it for me.
Okay, if that's what you want.
Yeah. I got a liter! Whoa. I know, it's 1 liter of God's sweet goodness. Jesus gave it to me.
He did?
Yes.
Okay, you know what? You're going to meet somebody with a bigger bottle, and you are going to be so mad.
Laura, check it out! I got an upgrade. Coke 3.0.
That is awesome!
I know!
Well, isn't that just great?
Yeah. Hey, Jesus, you rock!
Yeah.
Thanks,
what
Drew.
What is wrong with you?
Why are you holding back your best from me?
I gave you my best. Don't you see what's happening here? You're letting everyone else's gifts steal your joy.
No, Jesus, you are stealing my joy by giving everyone else more than you give me.
Laura, I picked this gift out for you. That's what I wanted you to see.
I don't care.
Until you can look past this, all you're going to see is a can of Coke.
Until you can look past this, all you're going to see is a can of Coke. Until you can look past the gift to the giver, you're going to be disappointed because someone is always going to have a bigger Coke. And if you get the bigger Coke, the message is still the same. Until you can look past the gift, you're never going to experience the giver. Until you can look past the gift, you're always going to be comparing what you have, because someone's always going to have a bigger Coke. We need to understand that holding the gift is a nail-scarred hand. Amen? Until you can see past the gift to that nail-scarred hand that gave it to you, all you're going to see is how your gifts compare to those of others around you. I wonder, friends, have our affections been misplaced? Have our passions been misplaced? Do we love God's gifts or God Himself? Do we desire God's blessings, or do we want to know God Himself? If we're more interested in the gift than the giver, if that is true, then our hearts will grow discontented when we perceive that God's gifts to others are better than our own. And you will always be able to find other people who seem to have a bigger Coke than you do. Everywhere you go, no matter what size your Coke, There's other Cokes that are bigger than yours, better than yours, supposedly. And you get to the 3-liter bottle and you think, oh, there's a keg. It never ends. It never ends. Until you see the giver, you're going to miss it. And here's the problem with looking at the bigger Coke. We maybe envy someone with the bigger Coke, but what we never see when we look at people and we think, oh man, you know, what a life they have. It must be nice, blah, 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 blah. But we don't really see and know those people, what their life is really like, what their struggles are like. We just see the surface, superficial things. We see Coke. We don't see their private struggles or pains or hurts or past rejections. We just see a suit and a tie or a BMW or whatever. We don't know the whole story. Everybody wants to be Tiger Woods. Until 6 months ago. I think you got that. Yeah. Friends, what a foolish thing is this, says Jeremiah Burroughs, that because I have not got what I want, I will not enjoy the comfort that I have. There is a great deal of folly in a discontented heart. And for the Christian, as we think of spiritual gifts and we think of practical blessings, material blessings, physical blessings, we need to remember that when we receive the gift or the blessing, the most valuable part of the gift or blessing is the hand that extends it to us. It is a nail-scarred hand. It is the hand of the Savior who bled and died, who is pleading in glory. I have a Savior who is pleading in glory, pleading for you, pleading for me. That Savior is given to every man and every woman who will have Him. Amen? So why are we worried about Coke? It's just a simple question, but I had to ask it. We are. I'm not going to stand behind this pulpit and pretend that I don't worry about Coke, because I do sometimes. I mean, I go bike riding with some of you, and you have a better bike than I do. We can be like that, can't we? We can be like that so easy. And I'll pick on myself because I don't want anyone throwing anything at me today. I've already just about, you know, lost my life or something. Until we can be content with Jesus alone, nothing else will satisfy us. Until we can be content with the fact that the God who made the universe, put on human flesh, lived a sinless life, He died a substitutionary death, He rose on the third day, He sits at the right hand of God, interceding for you and for me. Until we can be content in that alone, is that enough? Is that enough? Until we can be content in that alone, you're always going to be looking for more Coke. You're always going to be wishing your health was better. Well, I have a message for you. The older you get, good luck with that. Wasn't too long ago, I went to the podiatrist up here on Main Street, and I said, I don't know what's up with me, but my feet aren't my feet anymore. She took x-rays and different things. And you know, after doing a lot of stuff, she basically came and said, Mr. Friedland, you're not 20. My insurance shelled out pretty good for that, you know. And she said, you know, if you just $30 and you can get some power step inserts, I'm standing on them right now. They're very helpful. You know why my feet started to hurt? Well, I can think about 30 pounds of reasons. But it was my birthday. I turned 45. It happens. That's just the way it is. Can we be content with Jesus and the truth that one day there'll be a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem will come down out of heaven and one day there'll be no more tears or crying or pain or sorrow or sin? Is that enough? But we forget, don't we? It is enough. It's a beautiful story. The story of redemption that is full. Psalm 130. It's a powerful story. But we're worried about Coke. You know, the neighbor has a bigger Coke than me. The letters on my neighbor's car are different than mine, and it must mean somehow I'm inferior, because mine just says F-O-R-D. You do that, and so do I. And I pray, God, forgive me. Because Satan steals the joy that is already mine in Christ, because I'm looking at Coke. And I'm measuring the ounces. God help us. God help us, please. Paul said this, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I've learned the secret. So evidently there's a school to go to, friends. That's an action verb. I have learned. I have put effort into gaining an education about this word. And I've learned it, Paul says, and I believe the secret is focus. Focus not on the gift, but on the giver. Focus on the grace and not the goods. Focus. William Shakespeare in King Henry IV is quoted as saying, my crown is in my heart and not on my head. My crown called contentment. A crown it is that seldom kings enjoy. You see, friend, contentment is a gift from God that I may rest in if I so choose. The condition of my heart is completely up to me. Don't blame your neighbor and the letters on his car. Don't blame someone else who got a better doctor's report than you or who can wear any kind of shoes they want. Don't blame God for that either. We will miss the joy of contentment if keeping rather than releasing becomes our life's objective. That's the basis for the points I want to make this morning. We have to learn to release. If we're going to experience the joy of contentment, releasing and not keeping, giving and not grabbing. There are choices of the contented heart that must be made. And I want to run through them this morning with you. The first choice that I make was given to us in the instruction from Psalm 130. I need to release my sin to Jesus and celebrate salvation. I need to offer my sin and my guilt and my darkness to Christ and then celebrate redemption. A contented heart is free from sin and guilt and finds rest in Christ alone. Out of the depths of sin comes a cry to the Lord for mercy. Out of the depths, O Lord, I cry to you. This man was smart enough to realize his position, his condition before God, and that he was sinful. And I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter if you're driving a BMW or my 17-year-old van. The people who are behind the wheel are in the depths of sin and need a Savior. I don't care if you wear a starched shirt and a tie to work every day, or if you put on a pair of grubs and work at a sewage treatment plant. You are in need. Sins are different, but the condition is equal. And we need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. And He's offered free of charge. He's offered to us because He loves us. Out of the depths of sin comes a cry to the Lord for mercy. And that mercy is given freely. Oh Lord, if you kept a record of sins, who could stand a chance? God, don't show the community a video of my life, my attitudes, my thoughts, my covetous heart at times, my desire and compulsion with Coke. And the beauty of this psalm is this. Yeah, we can't stand a chance, but with you, there is forgiveness. Amen? I hear it out there. It's just, oh, man. Thank you, God. There is forgiveness. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption. Okay? Now, if you want a full bottle of something, don't choose Coke. Choose redemption. Choose the grace of God. The grace of God that's greater than every sin. Past, present, and future. The grace of God that declares you righteous in His sight. That you are pardoned even though you are guilty. You are innocent because your guilt has been given over to Jesus. That's redemption. Are you with me? Are you awake? All right. Listen, the burglar has left the building. Okay? Actually, he needs to come back. You know, I thought that today as I was holding my rock, I thought, what if I could think of something witty to say to this guy if I meet him? You know, what if I thought of something profound like Jesus loves you? Like God can change that neediness. For drugs or whatever it is you're scraping up a measly $29 for. You know, can I make an announcement? There's like zero cash in this building. God help us. I release my sin to Jesus and I celebrate salvation. Therefore, because I have full redemption, because I realize what I was, and you've pardoned it all. Therefore, you are feared. The word fear, it means reverence. It implies a relationship. And therefore, secondly, I need to release a stubborn, independent spirit and choose to draw near to God and worship Him in a spirit of awe and wonder. I need to release my sins, and I need to release this sense of stubbornness. I've heard many people say to me something like, some expression in the midst of a conversation, something like, oh, he's just a stubborn Dutchman. Like, I wish I had a $10 bill for every time I heard someone say that. Can I make an announcement? You don't have to be Dutch to be stubborn. Okay? You're looking at a stubborn Swede. I'm full-blooded Swede, and I'm as stubborn as anyone in this room. Okay, I married a good Dutch girl, and together we have 4 sweet germs. And they are stubborn, too. Okay, but I need to release that. If I'm going to know contentment, I need to release a stubborn, independent spirit and choose to draw near to God, who's taken my sins and my stubbornness and worship Him in a spirit of awe and wonder. And it doesn't matter whether I'm standing on a mountain in the Rockies with a big Coke or whether I'm riding past cornrows. I need to be willing to release that stubborn spirit, that independent spirit, that angry spirit that's angry because someone else has a bigger Coke. And I need to worship the God whose hand extended the gift to me. Amen. Amen. God help us to get our eyes off Coke. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to know Jesus or simply to get rid of your guilt? You see, sometimes we don't really want Jesus. We just don't want to feel guilty. We just want to be forgiven of our sins, and we forget the giver of salvation wants to be with us. You see, it is the Lord himself and not escape from punishment that the worshiper longs for in Psalm 130. And I think of Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Let us give up this independent, stubborn spirit and rest in the grace of God. Quit trying to control and maneuver and manipulate. Thirdly, as we get into Psalm 131 now, I need to release a preoccupation with my own success or my own advancement, along with the pride and selfish ambition that accompanies such striving. David says, my heart is not proud, my eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with things too wonderful for me. I don't pretend that I'm God, that I have all the answers. No, I humble myself before God, and I'm going to release an obsession, a preoccupation with myself, my advancement. That's not to say you don't pursue education. It's not to say you don't pursue a promotion. It's not to say you don't pursue these good things. It is to say that you shouldn't worship them. Are you with me? Because if you're busy worshiping Coke, there's always going to be more Coke and more Coke and more Coke. And then you're going to be like Ted Turner. When Ted Turner was interviewed by Barbara Walters, she said, I don't know why she said this. She's about as rich as he is. She said, how does it feel to be so rich? Turner kind of got a sad expression on his face. And he said, you know, he said, riches are like a paper bag. You want it and you want it and you want it. And you finally get it and you realize the bag is empty. That's Ted Turner speaking. Probably a billionaire. The bag is empty. God, give us a sense of offering up a preoccupation with our own advancement. Let us not worship that and be susceptible to the pride and selfish ambition that accompanies it. You got to release that. And next, we need to quit worshiping activity. I release my obsession with busyness. And I know in the outline, those of you that are looking at the outline, the word is actually the word says business. Well, it's not exactly a typo. Sometimes I need to release my obsession with business in order to quiet my heart before God and experience the joy of His company. Busyness. I think as a culture, we are sick. We have hurry sickness. We're hurrying here and there. We have a task list that's a mile long. We're trying to get so many things done. We don't have any energy. We flop into bed. We got a whole nother list waiting for us in the morning. Run, 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 run. But David says this. He says, like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. I have stilled and quieted my soul. There's another action verb. He chose to do that. I have stilled and quieted my heart. I can choose to quit worshiping success. I can choose to quit worshiping advancement and my own gathering and grabbing. I can choose to quiet my heart and seek the face of God. And if He sees fit to give me a big Coke, then I'll be glad. And I'll even offer some Coke to those who don't have as much. I release my obsession with busyness in favor of quieting my heart before God. I'm simplifying my life. We can choose a life without hurry if we want to. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm trying to finish up the tail end of raising four kids. You know, we're kind of moving them on into the 20s. And I know busy, believe me. And I know it's not simple. But somehow, we have to make time for God. Because busyness is going to kill us. It's going to suck the life right out of our souls. Finally, remember when you're reading the Bible, pay attention to words. Like a weaned child. A weaned child is my soul within me. I've stilled and quieted my soul. This child is growing up. It's no longer nursing, but it's simply enjoying the presence of the mother. Not asking, 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 grabbing, grabbing, grabbing. What does that mean for us practically? It means I must release my demands upon God to give me what I want. Sometimes we look like this. Sometimes we're shaking our finger, give me what I want. That's us sometimes. Cry, baby, cry, baby, cry, baby. Sometimes God says, oh, you know, you really want the big Coke? Let me tell you something. My boys realized this summer, these are heavy. The more you have on the bikes, the slower you go. And when you're going up a mountain that's 30 miles, you got to really think about how much weight you want on your bike. Gifts come with responsibilities. Be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you're discontented about. God just might give it to you. I release my demands upon God to give me what I want. And I surrender to His will, His purposes. If it's just cornfields, then I'll just be satisfied riding and enjoying the people I'm with. If it's mountains and grandeur that you give God, I will soak it up. You know, the truth is, I think in every life, in your life, in my life, there are both cornfields and glorious mountains. I don't think God shortchanges any of us. It's just a matter of being obsessed with Coke or being a worshiper of Jesus. Are you with me? What are you going to choose, friend? What are you going to choose? Are you going to realize today with me, I pray with me, that a contented heart is free from guilt and greed. A contented heart is freed from guilt over personal sin by the blood of Christ. And it's freed from greed for God's blessings rather than for God Himself. And we come right down to where the rubber meets the road. Contentment is really a learned behavior that has at its core a desire and a passion for God more than His good gifts. Contentment comes when we remember that what God chooses for us is far better than we could choose for ourselves. And so I'm asking you today to join me. Join me in giving up a preoccupation with more Coke.